October 14th edition of the MMA OB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin, and I'll be taking you guys through the latest in the world of mixed martial arts. You can follow me on Twitter at MMAdamMartin, and this podcast is available, as always, at MMAoddsbreaker.com. Go to our YouTube channel, like, share, subscribe, tell your friends about it. Also, check me out at BJPenn.com and MMARigs.net. Got a lot to talk about today, guys. A couple of events on the weekend, quite a bit of MMA, some really good cards. A lot to get into. Let's get right into it right now. I'm going to start with UFC Tampa, and then I'll work my way through PFL and also Bellator. All right, UFC Tampa, great card. Awesome card. Really good fights. The fans of Tampa retreated to a really good card. So I've got a ton to talk about here. Oh, man, where do we begin? Okay, I'll start with the main event. Joanna Jędrzejczyk defeats Michelle Waterson via unanimous decision. Pretty much a 50-45 scorecard on all three. I think one judge had a 49-46, but I think most people had a 5-0 for Joanna. So really no surprise here, I don't think. Solid performance by her for sure. Takes out Michelle Waterson, a much smaller fighter. You got to remember that. Michelle is a very solid and technical fighter, but she's much smaller than Joanna, and she really did use her size against the fence to, I think, kind of tire Michelle out. And on the feet, she just picked her apart. To me, this fight wasn't really that close. It wasn't super competitive. It was pretty much a blow-up for Joanna. So good for her. She gets the win. I don't feel like we learned anything about her, though. Anything we didn't know. We already knew she was a great striker. We already knew she had great takedown defense. So to me, it's like, yeah, it was a great performance, but I wasn't like super blown away or anything. If she went out there and knocked out Michelle in the first round, I would have been super blown away. It was still a great performance. Don't get me wrong, but it's not like we didn't know that she was a great fighter already. I think people forgot how good Joanna really is. Like, I was looking at the UFC rankings yesterday. Nina Ansarov is ranked above Joanna. To me, that's insane. I don't understand how any voter, even the stupid ones that UFC has, could have voted Nina Ansarov above Joanna. That's just super weird to me. So I feel like maybe she was a little bit slept on coming into this, but I don't know why. Like, she lost to Rose and she lost to Valentina at 125. Still a great fighter, still a great talent. But again, I personally didn't feel like we learned anything new about her. Having said that, I want to see her get a title shot. I want to see her fight Willie Jan. See that fight. I was at the first one in 2016. Incredible fight. I know it doesn't make sense because Cub's coming off a win and Dew hasn't fought really in almost 2 years since he got knocked out by Jeremy Stevens, but the fans want to see this fight. So to me, that car actually could use some more star power. Cub Swanson versus Dew Choice, sign me up for that. Great fight. And Cub Swanson is not even a ranked fighter right now. So honestly, it doesn't affect the rankings at all. And it's a fight the fans, I think, would want to see. And as for Kron, it's a loss, but it's not a big deal. You know what? Honestly, he didn't look that bad, in my opinion. He actually was pretty tough, and he stayed in the feet. I would have liked to see him go for some more takedowns somehow, but Cub Swanson was able to throw any of his attacks. And for some reason, he was kind of stubborn and just wanted to stand with him. When he really should have been trying for takedowns instead the entire fight. So Kron loses, but he'll be back. Next up, one of the best knockouts of the night. Incredible finish. Nico Price knocks out James Vick with an upkick from the bottom. Incredible knock by Nico Price. I've been hyping this guy for a couple years now. He is one of my favorite fighters in the UFC. He is incredible to watch. Exciting win, lose, or draw. I don't think he's had a draw yet, but he had no contest. So pretty much the same thing. This guy's amazing, man, to watch. Honestly, he's just so much just excitement. And in my opinion, he should be due for a big fight here. I know he's not ranked right now, but Robbie Lawler needs an opponent. And I'd rather see Nico Price get that fight than Mike Perry. I know Mike Perry's calling for it. Listen, Mike Perry's a good fighter. He's a very solid fighter coming off a very tough fight against Vicente Luque. But Nico Price, I think, deserves that fight a little bit more. I really do. So that's the fight I'd like to see, unless they give it to Jeff Neal, which is fine with me as well. But Robbie Lawler should be fighting one of these guys right now. Santiago Ponzinibbio is out. So I think one of Price or Jeff Neal personally should get that fight. Both guys coming off a win. Mike Perry coming off a loss should fight someone else. This is my opinion. I'm okay with, I guess, if they do the Perry fight against Lawler, but in my opinion, Nico Price should get that fight or Jeff Neal because, man, these guys are just so exciting, and I feel like they're just on the verge of breaking out to the top 15. And Jeff Neal did beat Nico Price in the summer, so if he wants that fight first, I think they should offer it to him. But, man, Nico Price is exciting, guys. He is so much fun to watch. Second knockout win in the UFC from the bottom. She didn't look good in this fight, but again, I feel like the year and a half layoff played a factor in that. So I'm not going to just write her off just yet. A lot of people don't like Mackenzie Dern. I don't know why. Personally, I think it's just jealousy, but I think she's a solid fighter, just had a bad night. Next up, very, very entertaining fight and a close split decision here. Matt Favola edges out a split over Luis Pena. This is a close fight. I mean, really could win either way. I personally scored for Pena. I had him 29-28 or maybe 29-27 because that second round easily could have been 10-8 round. But it came down to the first round. Two judges had it for Favola 10-9. Super close. I had it for Pena 10-9. But again, it was one of those fights that I personally won't complain about the decision because it was super, super close. Trevor Luck gets the win here, 8-1-1 now in his career. Good for him. Tampa native gets the job done on home soil. 2-1-1 record in the UFC now. And then Luis Pena, 7-2 now. Unfortunately for Pena, 2-2 in the UFC. 3-2, actually, excuse me. But the two losses by split decision. So it's very, very close to being an undefeated guy, but he lost two fights, so that sucks. I will say this, man, what a great walkout. Move Your Body, Girl, or whatever. That was a great song. So, man, great walkout by Luis Pena, but he didn't get the job done. And also, during that fight, he attempted this crazy submission that apparently is called a buggy choke. I have not seen that before, but Kaposa posted a video of that. I believe it's called a buggy choke. Super creative. That would have been sweet if he achieved that submission. But either way, Frivola edges it out. This was the other fight got wrong. Got all the other fights cracked on this card. And this one could have went either way. So it's all good. And then this other fight, opening up the main card, Eric Anders against Gerald Meerschaert. Another fight that really could have went either way. I did score for Gerald Meerschaert, though. I thought he won 29-28, but Anders gets the job done with a split. Eric Anders now on a two-fight win streak. Overall in the UFC, he is one. I think he's 5-4 now. So, you know, he hasn't been as good as I think we thought he would, but he's still pretty raw in MMA. 17 fights now, but he only started MMA a few years ago. So this guy's a great athlete, and he's a solid fighter, but clearly I feel like he has a ceiling in the sport. I think it's a borderline top 15 guy. I don't know if it's much more than that. And I hate to say that because he's a talented dude and he can't finish the right opponent. But as soon as he said Mike Davis, I was like, man, I like Mike Davis here. And I was hoping he was going to be an underdog, but he opened as the favorite. And you can see why. This was just a terrible match for Thomas Gifford. Mike Davis looked great. 8-2 record now in his career. It's his first UFC win, and he'll obviously continue his contract now. It probably signed a four-fight deal. He lost to Gilbert Burns. They gave him another fight in short notice. 4 days' notice and puts on this kind of beating. But now we got to talk about Thomas Gifford. I mean, hey, first off, this dude's super tough. No doubt about it. Luke drops to 17-9, 0-2 in the UFC. So I expect him to be released, to be honest. He lost to Roberts and Davis now, but the guy's super tough. Now, having said that, I mean, I've already went on Twitter and talked about this, and I'd like to hear what you guys see in the chat room here, but oh, my God. Oh, my God. What a beating this dude took. And just a terrible fail job by the referee. Just a terrible fail job. And an absolute terrible fail job by his corner. I'm embarrassed. I mean, to me, it's like they're on Twitter defending the fact that this guy's tough and that he could take damage. And his dad was in his corner. Mark Montoya was a really good, well-respected coach. And, you know, he's on Twitter defending this. I don't know how you can defend this. This was terrible. And I said this on Twitter, and I'm going to stand by it. We will see someone die in the UFC one day. It's inevitable, guys. You know, and it's not something people want to talk about, but it's going to happen. People have died in MMA. People die in boxing, honestly, all the time. It's going to happen in the UFC. Someone will die from injury sustained in a fight. And I felt like this could have been the first one. I mean, this was just disgusting to watch. That knockout was just the cherry on top. I mean, brutal. You know, the guy was 15 seconds away from getting to the decision, but wasn't able to get there and got viciously knocked out. You know, Gifford's on social media now saying, you know, he's fine. He's posting a picture of himself eating KFC, and he said he's feeling good now. And he said, you know, he's very Christian, and I respect that. You know, it's fine with me. But he's like, oh, well, Jesus took these lashings. I have to take them too. And, you know, it's like, all right, man, I respect the fact that, you know, feel very strongly with religion. But, you know, come on. Like, this guy took an absolute beating, and unfortunately, you know, he feels like he needed to take that beating for some reason. And I think that's just really sad. So his father in his corner, terrible job. Mark Montoya, terrible job. Trying neck surgery. Nina wants a year off. So Janice should get a title shot. Yeah, she should. And now that her foot's not broken, that's good. He had it for Pena, 29-28. Yeah, it was a close fight. And you're right. For Vola fighting at home, it did help him. OSP versus Span next. Sounds good to me. It's a good fight. OSP coming off a win over Michael Lexiak. Span coming off a couple wins. Sounds good to me. And Span, I don't know if OSP's ranked right now, actually. I think Span should be a top 15 guy, but you know what? That is a good fight. Honestly, OSP probably should be ranked number 15 if he isn't right now. And the ref, Andrew Glenn, was garbage. He was garbage, and so was the corner, and so was the father in the corner. Just terrible. And they let that guy down. Poor dude. Also, I got to mention, you mentioned OSP. Apparently, some guy on Reddit, oh my gosh. And I actually wrote the story of BJ Penn. Just sort of a joke, if anything. But some dude got a tattoo of OSP's initials on his butt after he submitted Alexiak with that Von Fluchoke. He said he wouldn't do it, and he bet some guy that he'd get initials on his butt of OSP if he wouldn't get the Von Flu, and he did. So, of course, he actually lived up to it, and he got the tattoo. So he pulled a John Anik there, got the tattoo. I thought it was hilarious. Go check that out. All right, let's get to Bellator quickly. I was not able to watch this card with the tape delay and stuff. I just wasn't able to watch it. I watched UFC, the whole thing. So There's a lot of MMA going on, guys, so let's be fair here. But I will go through the card here. Lexstil Sakhar defeats Cannon Grigsby. First round knockout, 23 seconds. Good for Sakhar, gets another win in Italy. He's been pretty solid when fighting in Italy. Gerald Harris is calling him out. He wants to fight him. Apparently, Grigsby's his teammate. He wants to get revenge. Sure, let's do it. Lexstil Sakhar versus Gerald Harris. I like Gerald Harris. Stefano Paterno defeats Ashley Reyes in unanimous decision. Melvin Manhoff gets a knockout win in the first round over Yannick Pahotti. Good for Manhoff. 43 years old, still knocking people out. Rafael Macedo defeats Kane Musa via split decision. That was an upset. There were odds for a few of these fights. And Vadim Nemkov defeats Rafael Carvalho via second round submission. Very good fighter, Vadim Nemkov. 11-2 in his career now. In Bellator, he is, what's his record here? It is 4-0. He's beaten Phil Davis, Liam McGarry, Philippe Lins, and Rafael Carvalho. We'll see what happens. I mean, I think there's a good chance this guy could fight Ryan Bader at some point. It looks like Bader wants to fight Yuri Prochazka, who actually has a win over Vadim Nemkov in Ryzen. I'd like to see that fight more. I want to see Bader versus Prochazka. That's a great fight. But this guy, Nemkov, is definitely moving his way up the rankings at 205. Not that there is rankings in Bellator. If he only have a few 205ers. Kirill Sitalnikov, maybe Fedor, defeats Dominigo Zabaros. Walter Pugliese defeats Andrea Fusi, and Nicolo Soli defeats Daniel Castle. There were odds in that fight as well. So, again, didn't really watch this card. If anyone did and they want to chime in on it, feel free to throw a comment in there. But, yes, I think the standout guy was probably Nemkov getting that win over Carvalho for champion in Bellator. So, good for him. All right, let's get to PFL now. This card, I think, it was slept on by some people. And, unfortunately, I don't think a lot of people watched it. But I did actually end up watching this. It was on TSN in Canada. And it was honestly a pretty good card. So give me a second. Just got to pull it out here. PFL, Professional Fighters League. You know, I like what PFL does, guys. You know, they do something different. It doesn't have to be what the UFC does. It doesn't have to be what Bellator does. PFL has a different format, and I like their format personally. I think it's cool. I think it's good for the fighters. Fighters seem to really like fighting for them. They seem to be respected. It's on ESPN. There's a lot to like about PFL, in my opinion. So let's get to this card. Opening up the card, non-turnabout, Brandon Loftin defeats Matt Wagge via decision. Good for Loftin gets the win, but I think a lot of people expect him to get the finish, so it's unfortunate he didn't, but either way he gets the win, and I expect him to absolutely be in their next tournament. Same with this guy, Nikolai Alex Sakin defeats Jesse Ronson via decision. He should be in their next tournament as well. Gets a knockout, actually, in the first round, excuse me, so that's how he won that fight. Now let's get to the tournament fights. First fight was a draw between Sabadusi and Ray Cooper 3, but Ray Cooper advanced to the next round. Ray Cooper, obviously, very good fighter. I'll talk about him in a second here. Glenko Franka defeats Andre Fiala via majority decision. Magomed Karamov defeats Chris Curtis via unanimous decision. And David Michaud defeats John Howard via unanimous decision. Getting to the women's bouts in the semifinals for the women's, Larissa Pacheco defeats Sarah Crawford via unanimous decision. I did call this upset. She was like plus 200. I really like Pacheco. And then there's actually a card in a couple weeks. That'll be their last card of the year. And then the final card, excuse me, not the final card of the year, the final card of the semifinal rounds. And then the final card of the year is Tuesday, December 31st in New York. So a couple more cards in Las Vegas and then the one at New York in the year. And again, I like what PFL is doing. No, not for everyone, but I personally like what they're doing. Let me get to a couple of fight announcements here. Tim Means versus Seattle Alves, UFC Washington, D.C. Really like this fight. Two guys that are veterans of the UFC at this point. Tiago Alves, obviously, he's been fighting in the UFC forever. He made his UFC debut 2005, still in the UFC 15 years later. So that's incredible. He's struggled a lot lately, coming off of three of his last four fights being losses. But, you know, he's still a durable guy. It's tough to finish and usually goes the distance. Taking on Tim Means here. Tim Means coming off that brutal knockout loss to Nico Price earlier this year. He's also lost three of his last four fights. This is a close fight. Really can go either way. Two strikers going at it. You know, Alves somehow is only 36. You think he'd be older considering he's been fighting forever. But Tim Means, 35. I favor Tim Means a little bit. You know, you guys know I love Tim Means. Well, I'll always favor him against mid-level guys like Tiago Alves. But, you know, stylistically, it's a fight that can go either way. So it'll kind of depend on how the odds shake up to be to where my official pick will be. And then the other new fight announcement here is Marcus Perez against Wellington Turman in UFC Sao Paulo. Marcus Perez, he's been a little bit up and down in his career in the UFC as well. He is 2-2 in the octagon, but coming off a great win over Anthony Hernandez. So good win for him here. And then takes on Wellington Turman, who lost a split decision to Carl Robertson in his UFC debut, 15-3 record. And before that, won four straight fights, including a win over Marshall Alexander Jr. That's Lyoto Jr. And Lyoto Jr. is the only guy who has a win over Paulo Costa and the Ultimate Fighter. So Lyoto Jr. was a guy in the UFC for a while. He's not there anymore, but he does have a win over Paulo Costa that no one talks about anymore because it was so long ago. So that's it as far as fight announcements go. Probably in some other promotions they announced them, but those are the UFC ones. Let's see if there's any other questions. That's it. So, all right, guys, I think that's it. That's enough to talk about today. My voice is getting pretty tired now, but yeah, UFC Tampa, great card, and the other cards were really solid as well. So I have a bunch of articles over at bjpenn.com, so definitely go over there, check it out. Lots of recap articles, lots of articles talking about the fights from yesterday. So definitely check it out at bjpenn.com. And of course, maoddsbreaker.com. I'll have my preview for UFC Boston probably up either today or tomorrow. And like I said yesterday or earlier today, I'll be doing the podcast with Cole Sheldon tomorrow at either 11 or 12. I'll let you guys know tomorrow, but I will be doing this regular podcast at 10 o'clock as always. So definitely check that out. And also check me out on marings.net. I'll definitely have an article coming out over there today or tomorrow as well. So guys, thanks again for joining me. I appreciate it, and I appreciate the questions. Send them in anytime you have a question. I always want to answer them for you guys. So thanks again for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow, breaking down the latest in the world of MMA. Have a great day, guys, and happy Thanksgiving for any Canadians out there. It is a holiday today, but I pretty much work every day, so I'll always be here doing the podcast, and now I'm going to go enjoy some lunch very shortly, some turkey, hopefully, and that's it. So have a good day, guys. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye.